The title of these presentations and posters is Soil Change, Agronomic, Ecologic, and Pedologic Process Measurements and Modeling. I want to thank the Environmental Quality Division for sponsoring this working group's session, especially Tom Borsch. Also, my colleagues in the Working Group on Soil Change, Candace Williams, Bianca Mobius-Kloon, and Diane Stott in particular. Sky Wills, of course. And to the remarkable group of 22 speakers from three continents who have come together today to talk about what we call soil change. It's shorthand. This phrase is shorthand. It goes back decades in the literature. I know of the first use in my reading is by Earl Stone. It could be further back than he. But it's kind of a slogan for the fact that more than half of the Earth's soils now are being actively used for cultivation-based agriculture, pastures, forestry, mining, urbanization. We know all these things. They're in our backyard. Suburbanization, transportation, industrial manufacturing. And it refers to the relatively rapid set of transformations that are happening to most soils on Earth. What we can call, what a pedologist might call, the polygenetic wave of human forcings that are altering soil bodies and soil systems, and the fact that in too many cases, land management represents but a stress or even a degradation to the soil system. The Working Group on Soil Change calls on members of SSSA, scientists in general, and the public to take a step back from business as usual, think creatively about our science and management. The Working Group has now sponsored sessions like this for 5 years. All of the speakers are welcome to our annual Working Group. There's a list in the back of the room to sign up if you're not on our listserv. In any event, welcome and thank you for coming here. Our first talk is by David Robinson, Accounting for Soil Change. David's a scientist from the UK. Thanks for making the effort to come this day.
Well, thanks very much for inviting me. It's great to be here. The very rise and fall of civilization itself depends on the soil, how we manage it, and how it changes. History has shown us that civilization can completely collapse if we get it wrong. And soil change can come about and destroy and bring down civilization. And we still grapple with many of these problems today, with severe management issues. In Britain, in the United Kingdom, one of the biggest challenges that we're dealing with is around organic carbon. And organic carbon is so important, so fundamental in our soils, because of all the functions that it supports and helps to fulfill, whether it's nutrient cycling, dealing with waste, its transformation, the structure of soils. And we want to keep the carbon in the soils. We don't want it going into the atmosphere. And a paper was published in Nature by Bellamy in 2005, and they suggested that carbon was declining about 0.6% year on year. Now, to put that in context, at that time, that kind of change, about a 1% change in soil carbon, was equivalent to the annual emissions from the UK, from all fossil fuel sources. So government could be applying policy in terms of what you do with your light bulbs and what you do with your car, but if it's all coming out of the soil, that's a big problem and a big challenge. So our organisation, Centre for Ecology and Hydrology, does a national programme. I think this is probably one of the longest running national monitoring programmes of state and change of soils globally. And so in 1978 they started this programme of looking at soils across the whole of Great Britain. And we were tasked with, in our 2007 survey, to see if this change was increasing, if we could confirm it. And the data that we had from 1978 to 2007 indicated that we couldn't support this, so that we couldn't see this decrease. And this was true across, you know, no matter which of the countries we were looking at, we weren't seeing that level of decline. Since then, another report's come out from Scotland, so we now have a couple of reports that suggest that that level of decline is not correct, much to the relief of many policymakers. One of the things that we all agree on is that soils have changed in arable systems, and we see this across the world, that you start ploughing up your soils and you're going to lose carbon. One of the interesting things, though not a significant result, was that it does appear that our woodlands are pulling in more carbon. And that agrees with another national survey in woodland which sees the same thing. Another of the aspects that we look at in countryside survey is pH. And we've seen since 1978 in mineral soils this almost half a point increase in pH nationwide. And we saw an initial increase in organic soils, but then it seems to have leveled off. So we can account for this when we think about what's happened in terms of sulfur deposition across the country. And what we figure we're seeing is this rebound, because sulfur deposition has declined, and because of the Clean Air Treaties and Transboundary Air Pollution Treaty. And so they've really brought that down, and we think that we're just seeing the natural rise as a rebound to that. One of the interesting consequences is that you perturb the system in one way, you protect it in one way, but then you start causing other interesting problems. So the pH, we started to see this proliferation of soils with a pH above 8.3, which now we're starting to think, you know, if we start to have sodium in the system, whether we're going to start to get structural problems. So we've shifted to one thing to perhaps create problems in another area. One of the great advantages with this kind of national survey, and you can just see all the sampling across Great Britain here, is that we can look at gradients. And we don't only look at soils, we look at the whole ecosystem. So this is a whole ecosystem approach. We're looking at pollinators, at butterflies, we're looking at plants, animals across the whole system, fresh water. And as we go from the uplands to the intensive agriculture systems, we can see that we see this decline in carbon as intensity increases. We see the increase in net primary productivity, decline in water quality, but we see this hump for many of the things, the biodiversity, both in the soil and above ground. So some disturbance is a good thing. But this means, in terms of ecosystem services, that we can't have everything and that we have to make choices. And this is the reality of what we deal with at the kind of policy level. So the problem that we're really facing is this incredibly rapid global change. And we have to deal with this, we have to be able to respond to it. And I like the idea of what Kate Raworth did from Oxfam with Rockstrom's diagram that was published in Nature. And she termed it living inside the donut. And this idea that we've got to bring together social as well as environmental. Because, you know, we live on a planet, we interact with it, we impact it, it impacts us. One of the things that we need to consider are, what are our goals? We spend a lot of time thinking about means to an end, but do we always think about the end that we want to achieve? And we need to put thought into that. The mantra from policymakers, certainly in the UK, is that we need sustainable growth. We need to keep growing. We live in a debt-based economy, and we need to grow. The solution to all our problems. But I think that this is kind of the Peter Pan syndrome when it comes to the environment. I think the end goal that we're looking for is maturity. You know, we go through life, you know, we're born, we grow up, we reach a level of maturity, and we become productive members of society, hopefully. And this is the same way that we should be viewing our environment and our ecosystems. This is what we want, not this idea of sustainable growth. And that's a message I think that we need to get across. When we start thinking about soils, how are we going to achieve this? I think we've got to look at soils through different lenses, because we have to communicate to different communities. We spend a lot of time working on biophysical change, on the measurement and the prediction, which is vitally important. But we need to think about how the system is changing in terms of energy. What are the energetics? What are we putting in? What are we taking out? How long is that going to last? But also the economics, the social interaction and the economic interaction that we have. This is a resource. It's an economic resource, as well as, you know, being part of the environment. And we need to think about these things. And I rather like this idea of soil security. Alex has really been promoting these ideas. And I quite like it because it's trying to encapsulate a very holistic view of soils. And I think we need to engage and move more in that direction to capture these different lenses through which to look at soils. Now, this year, Bob Costanza published a paper with colleagues, and he was looking at this idea of GDP, of gross domestic product, which is what so many policymakers base policy on, and saying, you know, we need to keep on growing. They equate it to welfare, and it shouldn't be equated to welfare. And he's making this argument and says, really, we need other things in there. We need social justice, happiness, the environment and its quality. And if you start to incorporate indicators for those things, over the past 30 or 40 years, you probably start seeing a decline. And many of us feel that, perhaps, but we can't put our finger on it. But the policymakers are telling us that everything's dandy and we're all growing and, you know, we have a few bumps along the road, but that's what we need to do. So how do we approach this idea of providing indicators that incorporate our resource and incorporate soils? And one of the major contributions, I think, that's been made recently is the system of environmental economic accounting. And this was published in 2012, where economists from around the world had worked with the UN to try to bring in the environment into the accounting system. So it's a set of satellite accounts that sit alongside GDP that say how our resources are doing, what they add to the environment, but also how we're detracting and losing resources. So it's a way of tracking things. They also have this experimental accounting system, which is more focused on condition. So the accounting system looks at seven major resources that it identifies as environmental assets. And soils is prominent in this. I think this is great because I spend a lot of time working with ecosystem services and soil hardly ever gets a mention. But here soil resources is first and foremost. You know, it's really up front with the other resources. And they recognize that it makes important contributions to the economy. In some of the work that we've done recently, I mean, the turfgrass industry in the US is worth $1 billion. It's primarily soil. So what are they doing? They've suggested that as a first port of call, we think about soil as a kind of physical asset, looking at the area and the volume of soil, how it's changing. So they want information on change. If you're an accountant, you have to know how things are changing. So change is central to this. And they've been suggesting that we use soil maps And we look at how the land use is changing in relation to that. I just brought out this figure that I'd come across. British Sugar report that they receive 300,000 tonnes of topsoil annually from the cropping of sugar beet in the UK. That soil that's taken out of the field goes to the factory as the beet is cleaned. They actually reprocess it and make it into a topsoil product. But that indicates there's an awful lot of soil that's moving around that we don't account for. And so the idea of this is to be able to bring this into accounting. One of the things it doesn't have is state or condition. And that's part of the idea of the ecosystem account. This is kind of what a simple accounting table looks like. It's a mass balance, essentially. It's thinking about things that go in, things that go out. So the other things that they have that they've identified and they think that we should be tracking, soil water, the soil moisture, carbon, nutrients, other soil inputs, because these are products. These go into products and add value in the economy. This is, I think, a major challenge. How do we assess soil condition, soil quality? How do we work that into a system of accounting that can be transparent, that policymakers can look at and see how the condition of our systems in the environment are changing? One of the things that's critical to all of this is that you need a lot of data. You need a lot of information. If you're going to look at how soils are changing, you need to be able to grab information. And we simply can't do that with the resources that we have. So we've been looking at hopefully innovative ways where we can capture more information and disseminate information as well. Try to engage the public in things. My Soil is a free to download app that we put out just over a year ago. And it's a collaboration with a number of partners, including JRC in Europe, British Geological Survey and Centre for Ecology and Hydrology, and a few others. And the great thing about this app is that we can deliver some information, but we can crowdsource with it. So we can engage, people can interact. So they can put a photo in there, they can put data in there, we give a little bit of a description of how you might measure pH, how you might measure texture, and then when the surface submitted the data, then we get we put that data back out. With the idea of building up over time and collecting information. Now, this information that we collect, it's not going to replace professional surveys, but it can be useful in filling gaps, and it can guide you in places to go look at. We've now gone global. Originally, we designed it just for the UK, and there was so much interest in this. I mean, we had blank pages for the rest of the world, and yet people were putting information in. So we've now launched this year the UK Soil Observatory on the web, and this has a whole combination of soils information. So free-to-view layers, you can download data into your GIS. It has an interactive viewer of soil information that's available, but it also has a web-based version of My Soil, so you can contribute data through the portal, and you can get information back. The other aspect of it is that we're looking at dynamic data. We want to be able to see information dynamically. This is the Cosmos Soil Moisture Network. And so you can go in and you can see this data in real time being delivered from this network. So we think that some of these things are really going to help in terms of how we engage with collecting and disseminating data. So just to summarise, we really need to be able to understand and track soil change. And this is one of the real major themes of the Global Soil Partnership that's been launched by the United Nations, is capturing this idea of soil change and communicating that to policymakers so they understand that soils are not static, that they are dynamic. It needs lots of data. We can utilise modern technologies, but we do need professional state and change monitoring. We need to be able to forge better links between soil resource use and the social and economic side of things. That can be a bit uncomfortable when you're a pretty hardcore scientist and you have to engage with social scientists, with economists, and you don't speak the same language. But I would very much encourage you that this is something that we have to do. It is so vital to the future and to telling people how valuable soils are. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David.
I have a question. Have time for a question?
Well, very good thought. I fully agree with you. I just want to mention quickly that we found the life cycle analysis very helpful in analyzing production systems, because of taking the economic aspect and account also some of the social aspects.
Yeah.
Together with the changes that you select certain objects, just a comment.
No, I absolutely agree. And a lot of this work was supported by SoilTrack, which is a big European project that we have looking at soils. And so one of the aspects in that project as well is looking at life cycle analysis. So we look through different lenses. So life cycle analysis is one. We look at energy return on investment as another way of looking at things. We're looking at economic valuation, as well as the biophysical change. So trying to bring all those things together. So I think, yeah, it's a really helpful tool.
Thank you, Johan. Thank you again, David.
Thank you.